Well, we're going to continue in our Advent theme this morning. Those four beautiful words of hope and peace, which we talked about last week. Today, we're going to talk about joy, explore that word a little bit, and then next week, love. If you remember last week, if you were here, our scripture text was taken from Psalm 29:11. I wonder if you would just say that again with me this morning. The Lord gives strength to his people, and the Lord blesses his people with peace. Wow. The Lord blesses his people with peace, with shalom, with wholeness, with completeness. That blessing is a reality. It's a reality of permanence, and it's not some temporary serenity that is based on, or it's kind of temporary. It's not conditional. So, and when God blesses his people with peace and the peace of redeeming relationship with him and with each other, and we're restored to our true identity as people to bear his image, filling the whole earth with what? His glory and his peace and his love. Yeah, all of it. There's something automatic, I would say almost unstoppable, uncontrollable, happens when we experience the peace that the Lord gives to his people. And I'm wondering if you know what it is and if you've experienced it. Isaiah chapter 35 gives us a wonderful picture of what happens when the Lord blesses his people with peace. And that's going to be our focus this morning. I'm going to move rapidly through Isaiah 35 because you've been here for a little while already. I do want to say this morning that on our quick tour through the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, my primary focus is going to be on the beautiful imagery in Psalm 35. Sometimes I think we spend so much time trying to figure out exactly what everything means that we miss the beautiful imagery in the scripture. And God presented all of this beautiful imagery in the scripture for us to soak in and enjoy and to learn from. So kind of in each set of verses this morning, I've got four different visuals to kind of help us grasp the visuals or the imagery of what the prophet Isaiah says. So my short summation of Isaiah 35 is a picture of what happens when God's people experience redemption. In other words, the blessing of peace from the Lord. And this passage could be specifically referring to when God's people, Israel, whenever they were in exile in Babylon and they were getting ready to be brought back to Zion, to Jerusalem, they're going to go from this wilderness experience back to the place of worship. So it could be that. It could be referring to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We've already sang about that this morning. And the rescue of sin through Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection. Or it could be referring to when Jesus returns a second time and all things in heaven and earth are restored to wholeness and completeness as God had designed for creation, for the world, for humanity. Or it could be referring to that moment when individuals, you and I, turn our hearts and our faces towards God, and instead of away from him, we call that repentance, and we experience that peace that the Lord gives. I would actually suggest that whichever it is, and I actually think it's probably all of those scenarios are represented, I want us to think about the imagery in Psalm 35 this morning of the person who receives a blessing of peace from the Lord. Isaiah 35, verses 1 and 2. The desert. Think about that. The desert. The desert. And the parched land, the dry land, will be glad. And the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, these fertile places, they will see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God. What was desolate, what was dry, with no ability to even imagine or produce or support life, now suddenly burst into bloom like a crocus and shouts for joy. There's several places here in Isaiah 35 that the word joy is mentioned. And this first place where joy is mentioned, where this it's like the crocus bursting into bloom, actually is a different Hebrew word than the rest of the passage. And this word joy here, where this bursting like a crocus, actually has to do with a violent emotion. And it's usually associated with rejoicing. So like this crocus bursting into life, there's this violent emotion. I'm guessing some of us have experienced that kind of uncontrollable, violent seems like a little violent word, doesn't it? But emotion, when God suddenly does his work in us, and we find this freedom and peace like we've never experienced before, and there's just this bursting forth out of us of joy and peace and freedom, it can come out in full force, almost violently. And I think you know what I'm talking about. I hope some of you, and hopefully many of us, have experienced that. And then the other joy that's mentioned throughout the rest of Isaiah 35 is kind of this ongoing gladness and pleasure. So it's a little bit different than this almost uncontrollable bursting forth that happens like the crocus. So in keeping with the imagery, I'd like to play a short video clip and just kind of go ahead and lose yourself in the imagery of what happens here. Have you experienced this kind of bursting forth of joy like the crocus? Have you experienced the restoring peace of the Lord producing life and beauty that was once dark and lifeless? Like a crocus, the desert will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy with violent emotion, an eruption of joy, an eruption of praise to the Lord. I love the imagery of the crocus in the dry and wilderness when God blesses his people with faith, with peace, and we turn our hearts from him or from ourselves away from him towards him. Verses 3 and 4, strengthen the feeble hands. Think about it. Think about the progression here. There's been this pouring out of emotion and a blossoming. But then he goes into strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Man, that is such a theme in the scripture, is it not? Do not be afraid. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance and with divine retribution. He will come to save you. You know, following that initial bursting forth of joy, that life in this beautiful picture, God begins to lay out this beautiful picture of caring for the weak. Remember, the Lord gives strength to his people. And as the Lord gives strength to his people, we can then in turn come alongside other people who have already turned towards God, but they're struggling, they're weak, and they're afraid. He says, come alongside and strengthen those who are weak. Strengthen those who are fearful. Come alongside those who've experienced new life and joy, but for some reason or another are still struggling in their belief of whether God can actually save them. Let's watch another visual.
There you go.
Is now walking. That's right, walking around the track.
There's the Lord giving you strength.
I shouldn't be able to do this, but
you are.
Yeah, I am.
Who's helped you when you were weak?
I'd be willing to go ahead.
You are
you were
doing
afraid.
It by yourself. There's nobody behind you, Joe.
Who has encouraged
Good job.
You? Who are you supporting and encouraging? Have you noticed in this video, amidst the struggle against the weakness and against the fear, there's this sense of joy, isn't there, coming through? God gives strength to his people. If you've received his strength, who can you encourage? Who can you come alongside? Isaiah 35, 5-7, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. And water will gush forth in a wilderness and streams in the desert. And the burning sand will become a pool and thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. The deer leaps effortlessly. Many of you have experienced the last several weeks the deer leaping effortlessly and making you look foolish. They're just there and then they're gone. I love that picture of the mute tongue shouting for joy. Everything that has been pent up for how many years? When belief begins to happen and strength begins to increase, everything that has been pent up in someone can begin to be expressed as belief and trust in God increases. When truth, the truth of who God is and the truth of his saving power and the truth that he is for his redeemed people is spoken over the weak and the frail and the fearful, and they begin to see and hear and have faith in the goodness of the Lord, they become like what? Like life-giving water. Like springs bubbling from the dry land. You know, and Jesus says the same thing in John 7:38. He says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from them. And by this, he meant the Spirit. Let's see what water in the dry land can look like. Another visual. You watch water in the dry land. Another question would be, are people in awe of God as his Spirit flows from you? Is God, through your belief and your trust in him, having an impact downstream, beyond what seemed to be like your present or time of influence? It's what water does. It has influence far beyond its source. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert. And our last three verses in Isaiah 35. And a highway will be there, right in the midst of the desert. And it will be called the Way of Holiness. And it will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on this highway. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. And they will enter Zion with singing, with everlasting joy, with this ongoing pleasure and gladness will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will go where? It'll flee away. It'll flee away. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Here we have, again, as I mentioned earlier, we have a different kind of joy. It's not this violent eruption that happens in those moments of blooming, but this ongoing pleasure and gladness of heart. For our fourth visual this morning, I've invited Lois J. to come and share how joy and gladness are replacing sorrow and sighing in her life. One up. Just happens to be her birthday today.
Today, I'm 55. Did you know that 5 means grace? So today, I have a double portion of grace. And I brought joy in a bottle just in case. When Darren asked me about 10 days ago if I would talk about joy today, and specifically that last phrase, that joy and gladness will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away, I've been thinking about all kinds of ways that I could share that. And to be honest, the drama queen in me wanted to wear the blue wig and be joy from inside out, the Disney movie. But I was like, I don't think that's the kind of joy that God's talking about in this particular passage. And so at 3 a.m. this morning, he woke me up from a sound sleep. And I got on my laptop and I started typing. And I went back and I looked at my my notes from the healing journey. In the fourth lesson, Cindy taught about the Israelites and Moses and how they had just come from this place of captivity in Egypt, and Moses brought them through the, well, God brought them through the Red Sea, and they had experienced this awesome miracle, and yet because they came from a place of captivity, they had a slave mentality. So they thought of themselves as victims, and they still needed more work on learning how to trust God. I mean, imagine that, right? Can you imagine, like, watching the Red Sea, like, part, and you go across on dry land, and you still need more, you know, more opportunities to trust God? Hi, Ken, because that would be me. So what he did was he took the Israelites the long way. God took them the long route because he knew what they were and were not ready for. He was with them night and day, and this is true for us too. He led them to the next difficult spot because he knew what he was about to do. God was teaching them to trust him in their to be their protector and not be afraid of impossible-looking circumstances. So, as someone who backpacks, I know how important water is, finding water sources. In fact, the last time I went backpacking in October, the map showed there was supposed to be water there, but it had been a dry fall and there wasn't much there. And so I remember praying. In fact, we spent 2 days like hiking around a lake, but the lake was down a steep cliff, and in order to get to it, we pretty much would have to break our necks. So we opted out of that. And I was praying as we were on the trail, and I was like, Papa, we need water. You know we need water. It's not, water's heavy. A liter of water is over 2 pounds. And I would generally drink 3 liters in a hike. So I'm carrying over 6 pounds of just water. And so we carry our water filtration systems. But that backpacking experience, what it did was it taught me that God, in the wilderness, God can help me find the things I absolutely need. Like, I need water for sustenance. I need it for energy, actually. And I need it to be kind to people, my fellow hiking mates. So this is the thing that's cool about God. In the healing journey, my significant thought that I wrote was that the desert journey is necessary in order to transform my heart and my mind. I need a new identity in the promised land and needed to let go of my slave mentality and seeing myself as a victim. And God is doing that here for me in this season at North Street, specifically in the last 2 months. This is how cool God is. In the last 2 months, he has provided me a place to live. He has given me a winter coat. He's given me snow boots. And last Sunday, he provided $479.73, the exact amount I needed for snow tires. This is a God who cares. He cares about the intimate details of our life. And as he brings me through this place of a deeper dependence on him, he is showing me he is absolutely trustworthy. He is my provider, he is my protector, and he is my power. And because of that, my joy, sometimes it looks like an eruption. You pretty much will see me crying everywhere. And sometimes it's tears of sadness, but really more of this is these tears right here. This is recognizing the fact that he redeemed me. He loves me so much that he answers the needs, my needs specifically. To the cent. That's the God we serve, and that is the God that was born, and that we celebrate this season.
Thanks, Lois. May your joy continue, and may sighing and grief continue to take a hike. Four visuals. Visuals of new life in the wilderness. A visual of the strength of the Lord helping the weak. Those of us who are weak, and then those of us who receive strength can come along others. I've seen a visual of water bursting forth. I'd have loved to have found like a visual of somebody who was mute and everything they wanted to say was pent up for how many years, like being burst forth in the first, but I couldn't find that one. But I've actually seen it in some of you. In some ways, some of you have been mute. And you're coming to life, and you're finding your voice. And then praise begins to burst forth. So joy. Joy. Have you experienced the bursting forth of joy in your life and turning to Jesus and receiving his redeeming love? Have you turned towards God? Are you in a season that you feel like a person with feeble hands and weak knees? And you believe, but you're afraid, and you need some extra support. Or maybe that was you, and now God is beginning to cause living water to flow from you. Question be, who can you come alongside? Or quite possibly, as you've lived the journey of joy, as you walk in obedience and trust in the Lord, sorrow and despair are being replaced with gladness and joy. I would just say, go ahead and live. Live in and enjoy this wonderful blessing of joy from the Lord. The joy of the redeemed is a joy to be lived. The joy of the redeemed is a joy to be lived.